From early in his career, composer Danny Elfman scored big in the world of mass market entertainment. He wrote the music for The Simpsons, Batman, Men in Black, Good Will Hunting, and Spider-Man, to name just a few. This past week, though, Danny Elfman has not been focused on the run-up to the Academy Awards. He was in New York City, attending the world premiere of his Serenata Schizophrenica, performed by the American Composers Orchestra at Carnegie Hall. Danny Elfman joins us from our New York bureau. Congratulations, Mr. Elfman.
Thank you very much.
So why did you decide to take on a work for the concert hall?
Because it was there.
Like a mountain?
Yeah, like a mountain. I mean, I never would have taken a commission for the big hall, for Carnegie Hall, as a first commission. I accepted a commission for the basement underneath. There's a little room underneath the big hall at Carnegie, but it's only about 350 seats. I said, that's perfect. It's way off the radar. And I could just do something fun for a small orchestra, and no one will even know that I did it, and that's a good way to kind of wet my feet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Many months went by, and we had that scheduled. And I found out at a certain point that my wife was expecting a baby. And I couldn't tell anybody because it was really fresh news, and we were going to wait 3 months, as people often do, you know, until you really know that it's... Mm-hmm. Really going to happen, because sometimes it doesn't. So you can't tell anybody. And I had this terrible secret. However, the
Not
due date...
Not a terrible secret, but a secret.
Well, no, it was only terrible that I couldn't tell anybody, but the due date was the same week as the scheduled concert for Carnegie.
Oh.
And I was trying to cancel it. I was trying to get out of it, but I couldn't tell anybody why. Because suddenly I was going, I really can't do this. And they're going, why? And I couldn't come up with a good reason. So I'd just go, well, all right. And then at a certain point they came and said, Danny, you know, if you're interested, we'll bounce you upstairs. We're interested in putting you in this program that would be in the big hall. And I said, no, absolutely no way. Really, I'm not ready for that. And they said, well, and also it moves your schedule back from January to February. And I said, I'll take it.
So by this time, they think you're crazy, right?
Yeah, so really, I owe the entire concerto to my now 6-week-old son, Oliver. I came out about 6 weeks ago to hear the hall and take a look around as I was beginning to write the piece. And I found myself intimidated to the point of paralysis. I almost went into a coma. The hall is so amazing and the history there is so thick. Mm-hmm. And I went home terrified with this feeling of I'm in the playground of the big boys now. This isn't the little sandbox that I'm used to. So it kind of froze me up for a couple of weeks, then I finally shook it off and started writing.
So you started writing this piece about 6 weeks ago?
More like started 8-10 weeks ago, I guess. Now, my time frame is always bad.
That's still not a lot of time to write a concert hall piece, I think.
Well, for me, that's a normal amount of time. So, you know, you got to realize I'm in a profession where I have to come up with big, huge, monstrous works in usually about 10 weeks.
Well, what was the technique that you found to get you started on this project?
Well, what I started doing, because I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and what I started doing was for 2 weeks, I forced myself to write a small composition every day. After about, I think, 14, 15 days, I had 15 or 16 little compositions, mostly about a minute and a half long. So now I ended up with all these little fragments, and I let pieces start evolving, and I found that some fell by the wayside, and some started expanding and taking off. And now I ended up with about 10 longer pieces. And I said, oh, this is kind of interesting. How do they fit together? I don't know. What do they mean? I don't know. But, and then I found myself with 6 that were now ranging 6, 7, 8 minutes long a piece. They were taking off on their own in crazy ways that were surprising me. And I just found that one went into the next, went into the next. I was resolved that I didn't want this concerto to either be too much of a whimsical frolic or too serious. So one piece kept bouncing me into the next and then bounced over to a third direction, then bounced back to the first. And that schizophrenic approach is what fuels me. I'm throwing together all these influences. There's not a single orchestral idea that I did out there that wasn't expressed before 1950. My inspiration comes from film composers of the golden era of the 40s into the 50s, Alex North and, my God, Bernard Herrmann. My inspiration comes from Russia, and when I heard Prokofiev the first time, I felt like I had an arrow shot into my heart that I could never remove. It hit me that strong and that suddenly. I'm just a cornball for early 20th century Russian composition. I mean, I don't know why. The first time I heard Stravinsky's L'Histoire du Soldat, I didn't want to listen to anything else for 2 years. I mean, that's how strong it was for me. And then there's a lot of Duke Ellington influence and early jazz all mixed together, but that's where I love to be. I am, for 20 years now, if I see picture, I hear music, period. I always work visually, and I did have on the back burner an emergency plan. If I went too far, that I would start putting on some silent movie footage or even non-silent movie footage, just playing silently, and just start composing to it. Put on some D.W. Griffith, put on anything, start composing to it. I knew that if I ran into trouble, I could put on anything and begin composing. But I also felt that that was cheating, and I never did have to do it.
So what were the pictures you were seeing as you wrote this time?
Well, for example, one of them is called Quadruped Patrol. I kept picturing a large dog trotting along, and you know how a dog is kind of trot, 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 dun, 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 dun. It was a big dog and a little dog, and how they look right, look left, and this dog was very serious, had very strong intent, but was still never breaking stride with his trot. I had so much fun with it because I never could stop seeing a big dog and a little dog. If you listen to it, you'll hear bump, 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 big dog trot, trot, da, 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 da. That's the little dog trotting up alongside. It gets very dramatic because, of course, there's inevitably a confrontation of who's going to dominate, the big dog or the little dog.
Who wins?
The little dog.
Now, along with the American Composers Orchestra, you also had the ACO Singers.
Well, it's the fifth movement, I knew as I was writing it, had voices. And I called them up kind of sheepishly going, because I kept asking for, can I have another percussionist, please? All right. I really need an extra trombone, an extra French horn. I know they're on a tight budget. It's like, all right, one trombone, one French horn, one percussionist. That's all you're going to ask for? Yeah. Well, except for those two electronic instruments that have to be playing. Oh, my God. Okay. We have a third keyboard. How many piano? One piano, right? Well, actually, two pianos. It's a kind of two double piano concerto, the first and sixth movement. So they're already like, I can see them going so miserable. And I say, please, I need a choir. And I knew, I was kind of like wincing, waiting for like the meltdown. And they said, very calmly, it was Michael Geller. I said, how many voices do you need? And I said, how about 25? And he said, how about 6? He says, all right, 8. All I can say is that it was far from being a perfect evening. I actually, sitting up in the balcony, only heard really the woodwinds for the first time because I couldn't even hear them in the rehearsal hall up at Columbia. And I heard a couple of mistakes that I hadn't even heard going by. That was like, oh my God, that was my mistake that just went by. And so was that. It's like, okay, next time, let it go. You know, it was a mixture of whimsical fun, isn't like being out of my body watching it going, how amusing. And then occasional bursts of terror, like, oh my God, what's that just happened? And then back out of my body, like, well, what difference does it make? It's not like they're going to hang you after the show. I mean, the worst is they're going to say you overshot and did a poor job, and you can live with that. I actually had fun because, you know, once there was nothing else I can do to it for the performance, once I reached that point where I could no longer do anything more, I've given it as much as I could do through the dress rehearsal, now it's time just to have a martini and sit there in the box and enjoy it.
Composer Danny Elfman, his Serenata Schizofrena, commissioned by the American Composers Orchestra, received its premiere at Carnegie Hall on Wednesday. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Sheila Kast.